This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes, where we're as prepared as ever.
Mm-hmm. As ever.
What's going on, Audrey Raj, over there? Anyway, we are going to be with you for the next hour or so. Joining me in the studio, of course, is Audrey Raj. Say hello, Audrey.
Hello.
Arvind Ubaraj over here in the corner.
Hello, hello.
And Majida will be joining us very shortly. Say hello.
Hello.
She's right here as well. I'll leave your microphone in, fact.
Okay.
Right. If you want to get in touch with the show this afternoon, 018-789-8899 is the way to do it via WhatsApp, or you can get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Stories coming up. We have a story about how giving away all your money to a robot could help you make more money. Right?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
We have a story about how Reddit is worth around 1.8 billion US dollars currently. And then the future of fake news, how you shouldn't believe anything you read, see, or hear.
Yep.
That's a bit frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Then moving on to 3D printing and how that could possibly solve the organ transplant shortage. And then we'll be finishing up with Spotify, who are prepping to go public with 60 million subscribers.
60 million, yeah.
Right. So, Audrey.
Yes.
Tell me about this robot that you've been researching.
Okay.
It's a Singaporean robot, right?
A Singaporean robot, yeah. Mm. Yeah, you could call it that.
So, all in the same sentence, Singaporean robots.
Let me just ask you guys here. Let me just ask you guys here right now. Would you trust a robot to manage your investment?
See, you asked me this earlier on, and I had a long, hard think about this. And I think, yes, I would, to start off with. Not, I wouldn't put 100% of my assets in there, but I'd put a portion in, yeah.
Yeah, what about you, Majida?
I would. I mean, you know me. I've always been for the technology, mm-hmm. robots taking over things. So, yeah, I
and
would.
And Black Mirror hasn't fazed you?
No, it's kind of frightened me a bit, but then it hasn't, like, fazed me. You know?
What about you, Majida?
I'm more skeptical because I feel that I need some human to be able to touch and feel with me. Also, because robots are communicating with each other now, so it sounds really dangerous.
Humans communicate with each other, Majida. That's what we do. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, but it depends what we're saying.
That's true.
We don't know what robots are saying behind our backs.
Oh,
right?
She's saying they could be sneaky.
Okay, this is going somewhere else.
Give us the story.
Let's come back to the Singaporean robot, okay? So,
because that's normal.
So, interestingly enough, many people are already trusting robots to manage their investments. So, automated advisory technologies, automated financial advisory technologies are apparently widely used in the West and are now set to make an impact on Singapore's $594 billion financial advisory market. So after more than a year of intensive beta testing, Auto Wealth Private Limited today announced its official launch as a personal digital financial planner. So this fintech startup has developed an online platform that advises customers on the ideal composition of their investment assets. So how much they should invest, the initial sum that they should invest, the amount that should be periodically invested, all based on their risk profile and financial objectives.
Okay.
So all you do is you fill up a questionnaire, and then this robot will actually tell you how much you should initially put in, when you should top up, when you should, you know, sell and get out. So mm-hmm. it basically does all of this using its algorithms, and it'll help you make money.
So from what I understand from their beta testing over a period of 1 year, right? They did 1st of May 2016 to 31st of May 2017.
Yep.
Generated an average of 9.9% in average on net returns.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. I spoke to somebody who isn't a robot, and in his last year, he managed to get 15%.
This is in Singapore?
In Singapore.
Okay.
The interesting thing I also noticed about this is that it offers the low minimum investment sum of $3,000.
Yeah.
Right? So looking at this and having a bit of a kind of chat around this story, for me, it seems to be like something that if you are unfamiliar with investing, that this might be a good starting point.
Yes, because it's only $3,000.
Right.
That's the mm-hmm. initial investment in.
Yeah.
And after that, it actually advises you on a case-by-case basis. If something big happens in the global markets, it will prompt you via a push notification on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It will inform you some way or another. So it's basically having a robot ensuring that you are completely informed about what your investments are, what the possibilities are, the potential investments that you could take.
Mm.
And all this, it's simpler and more convenient and hassle-free because
it's an automated process.
So just to clarify, it's not a robot. It's a bunch of proprietary algorithms.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. Right. There is one face-to-face meeting, though, because once you decide that, you know, you want to give AutoWealth a try, what you have to do is you've got to fill in a questionnaire and a profile, and then customers actually have to meet face-to-face with an AutoWealth financial advisory representative at a location convenient for the customer, of course, to clarify any questions before they open their account. But once the account is open, then customers can monitor their portfolio performance anytime, anywhere via the online platform.
Does it say whether or not this is coming to Malaysia, or is it only usable in Singapore right now?
Right now, it's only in Singapore.
Right.
But yeah, I'm just wondering, like, what's so different about this robot? Like, they have been apps before that can tell you how to invest, when to invest, what's going on in markets and stuff. So do they say why this robot is more advanced or better than any app that you have on your phone?
I think this is a financial advisory online platform. So it will actually tell you what you should be doing based on the algorithms, based on your risk profile and based on how much you have to invest. It will actually tell you what you should possibly invest in. It advises you on your financial investments. Like with the other apps that we've heard in the market and all, it's most of the time, it allows you to just make investments through the online platform. Mm-hmm. But then again, it still comes back to you monitoring a company's profits and profile and whatever else is going on with the company.
Okay, so now we're seeing like robots. I mean, before this, it was the matter of robots taking over jobs that could be done by basically anyone. So just lower level jobs.
But now careful what you say, because there's a whole bunch of accountants listing.
Yeah,
right now,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So now we're seeing that robots, if this actually works, then this is like upper level, higher level, professional jobs that you need to study for years and years to be able to do this, right?
Yeah, and that's why they're saying that this AutoWealth online platform could potentially disrupt what is Singapore's $594 billion financial advisory market.
The one thing that strikes me is that robots can't listen to gossip so much, you know. They can't get the kind of stories that you hear sat around in a coffee shop.
Not yet. I mean, if they're connected to a network.
So sometimes when you get a tip from a friend or you know, a colleague, or you read something somewhere and you think, oh, maybe that might be something interesting to invest in. Obviously, a robot can't do that just yet.
Yeah, but I mean, how much are we talking about that on WhatsApp, on forums?
Right.
Or, you know, if we're connected to a network, and if a robot is connected to the same network, and then it has ways of, you know, dragging that information out. So it can kind of listen to your gossip without you actually wanting to gossip with it.
That's very true, and also terrifyingly scary.
Mm-hmm. And of course, this robot will not be negatively affected by emotions or sentimental feelings towards a certain share or stock or company or, you know.
All right, so robots handling money then is potentially the future. I don't know how I feel about that. Okay, Majida, we have a story about Reddit then. Reddit, if people don't know, is an aggregator of news. Most of the stories are given to the website by subscribers or readers. I've been a Reddit user for almost 10 years. So I know how influential this website is now. So influential that it's been valued at $1.8 billion.
That's right. Reddit has raised $200 million US in a new venture funding and is now valued at $1.8 billion US. Mm. The money comes courtesy of a number of well-known Silicon Valley investors, and there are a bunch of them. They include investment firms, hedge fund investors, mutual funds, and individual investors themselves. According to the CEO, Steve Huffman, in the new funding round, the company's largest ever, it wants to expedite a number of internal products and business efforts, including a redesign of its homepage, which it really does need.
I like the homepage. I like it because it's so simple.
It is, like, but it's also like it's kind of retro.
It's 2005.
That's what I like about it.
Founded in 2005. It looks 2005. It still looks 2005.
Oh, there's change clearly a divide between all of us in this room, right? Oh.
Yeah. Well, as you said, the Reddit itself, despite being a playground for silly things, a cesspool for racist, sexist, and not safe for work content, it just really is an irresistible place to waste time.
Also, but those things are available on the website. Should you choose to look at those, right? Okay. But just to clarify that I'm not looking at those particular things. I go there for my news and my memes.
For beneficial
and
things.
Memes and all these other things. It is a waste of time, place. It has amassed, despite being that, it has amassed 300 million unique monthly users. And when you compare this with Twitter's 328 million and Facebook's 2 billion users, 300 million is really quite a big deal. And as I would point out, 300 million extremely opinionated monthly users who have an opinion about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so appealing. You go to it, you have an opinion about everything from the news to memes and things
movies,
that...
Movies, all that stuff. Yeah.
But I mean, this is all on the back of Condé Nast's investment, I'd imagine, a few years ago, 2014-15, right?
Yeah, that, in 2014, it raised 50 million. But the problem with Reddit is that they have found it very hard to monetize the site itself, despite having 300 million unique monthly users, right? The reason for this is because it asks very little personal information from its users, it's very difficult to design targeted ads. So monetizing Reddit itself has been this big obstacle. And according to Business Insider, until now, Reddit is still not profitable.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, because I was going to say, like, 1.8, I mean, it sounds like a big amount, but then if you think about, like, 2005 to now, about 12 years, that many users, 1.8 is actually not that big. It's not such a huge number compared to, like, other social media sites out there.
And you're right, Majida. You know, you're saying all of these people who, you know, many of these people who use Reddit have their own opinions.
Mm.
And the very fact that they're there is indicative of the fact that they don't have to give too much information. That was part of the reason that it drew me to the website back in the day. I just have to give an email address, and that's it. I'm part of that community.
Yeah.
You know, and if they start asking me for money or donations, I mean, they do that, you know.
Yeah.
Please donate a little bit, because they have to, right, to try and raise some extra funds. But all those people are there because they don't want to have to pay. So that's the problem, right?
And they just want to be anonymous, as anonymous as they can be.
Yeah.
The reason why they want to be anonymous is, and they prefer to be anonymous, because you can, anything goes in Reddit.
Yeah.
You have all this racist and other silly stuff along with it. In fact, 2 years ago, it's been so open, Reddit has adopted a new anti-harassment policy to shut down several subreddits, including a fat-shaming forum, dubbed Fat People Hate, which had about over 5,000 subscribers in that in that page alone. So you can go there, you can be yourself, you're anonymous, you can talk about anything. And I'm trying to figure out how Reddit users would think about a facelift for Reddit itself, because they're opinionated. They will definitely have an opinion about how the new Reddit front page would look like if it's to be updated to 2017.
I just did have an opinion there about that right at the beginning of the show.
Exactly. And now imagine 300 million of them all having an opinion.
Yeah.
Some of them may like it, some of them may not like it. And then I don't think there'll be a right answer on how it's going to...
I mean, Majida has just said, you know, there's plenty of, like, negative information articles and things that are shared on Reddit, but there are also plenty of positives.
I think
we go there for some of the news that breaks in, just to see what the community is actually talking about, certain things, not only in politics, but, like, for me, in sports, right? It's just a forum of people talking about football and what they feel about, I don't know, the transfer window, and it's a great place to find information. I just wish it wasn't so cluttered, so I'm looking forward to this phase.
Mm-hmm. All right then, all right. I'll stand on my own in this side of the room. Anyway, we're going to take a very short break. We've got some music coming up. It is Florence and the Machine with Ship to Wreck. When we come back, all about news or fake news. Don't believe what you hear, see or read. Music, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Behind famous men. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Audrey Raj
and
Majida Hashim
and
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Full house today, ladies and gentlemen. So we started off with Auto Wealth, how a robot could potentially make you money. They're suggesting that they had returns of 9.9% in 1 year in their beta test.
Mm-hmm.
We then moved on to how Reddit, they're valued now at 1.8 billion, despite having the best front page in the world ever. That does not need a facelift. I don't know what these idiots are talking about. Right, so third story is that the future of fake news.
Now,
this story's kind of been bouncing around for the last couple of weeks, right?
A lot.
We've seen little bits and pieces of it, but it seems as though today it seems to be quite a meatier story.
Yeah, so The Guardian ran with this piece today. And we've been talking about fake news and how, you know, you can make up like pictures and articles and you can write up news pieces that are completely false, spread them around. Facebook has been trying to combat it. Google has been trying to filter their fake news stuff. This thing today is actually about video and audio manipulation tools that can create like audio visual content that will that is completely fabricated and like completely fake. That you wouldn't be able to know whether the person in the video is actually saying what he's saying or not. So there are a couple of tools that have come out, and what The Guardian did was they kind of listed it, and then they put up a couple of videos that show how these tools work. One very famous one is a video of Obama that came out, I think, early this year or last year, where he's giving a speech. What they did was they took his the movements of his mouth, and they superimposed it onto another video of Obama. And they completely merged the two of him. So this one was him giving like a press conference, and they superimposed his mouth movements on a video of him in the White House. And it's right. It's completely realistic.
Right.
And it looks completely... You wouldn't be able to tell. If you're not looking out for flaws, you would never be able to tell that it's a fake video.
That was a... Sorry.
So this is taking fake news to a whole new
level. Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's not just articles and sound bites and things like that that they can manipulate right now. They can actually manipulate video. And like, how will you know if what you're watching is real or not?
And that was the thing, the first thing that kind of sprang to my mind when we saw the video was that... It is very advanced, but like you say, if you're looking closely, you can spot that there's something not quite right. Right? Mm-hmm.
But how often do we actually, you know, if you're watching Obama make a public address, a State of the Union address or something like that, how are you actually watching his mouth and everything he says? Mm-hmm. You're watching the reaction of the crowd. Or sometimes you just have it playing in the back, you know, on CNN and you're doing your own thing, but you're listening. Mm-hmm. Are you actually watching his mouth movements enough to know that something's being dubbed?
Right. I mean, and if you were to watch one of these pieces of video over an internet connection that's not particularly stable or maybe it's slightly pixelated or something like that, you'd never really know the difference.
You wouldn't know.
Right? And there was this whole thing during when Osama bin Laden was running around in caves or whatever, and, you know, people were looking at video images of him, and they're like, is it him? Could it be him? Is this created? Is he an actor? So it's not like this is something new. It's just that it's a new technique of using a new technique of doing an old trick.
Yeah,
right?
And they've come up with new technology. That's the best or the worst part. I'm not so sure.
Right.
Because they've made it more accessible to just for anyone to just get access to it and then use it. So The Guardian is listed. There's one thing, one software developed by Stanford University called Face to Face. What it does is it takes a video of, let's say, Vladimir Putin. And then you can be in the room, and then you have like motion capture technology that has like a GoPro that's focusing on your face. You can move your mouth, and Putin would move his exactly like yours.
In real time.
In real time. So that's the scariest part. So you could have it's not just him. It could be anyone. It could be a celebrity. You have video footage of them, and then you move your mouth, and their mouth moves the exact same way. So you could say something, and then you could get like a voice impersonator to say something and literally put words into their mouth.
This technology must have been used in movies before, surely.
Yeah, but it was expensive.
Right.
So that's the thing. In movies, it's expensive, and then they want to have speeches with ex-presidents who are not around anymore. You want to put them in the movie. That's how they do it. But it's very, very expensive.
Or ex-press secretaries, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
How long has he been about? How long was he there? 10 days, right?
10 days.
Scaramucci, 10 days.
Yeah, so that was one of it. And they used videos of George W. Bush. They had Vladimir Putin. And then they also had like a couple of experiments with Donald Trump. And they put words in his mouth using someone who sounded like him.
I can think of many more experiments we could do with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. There's also, there was a research team at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. And they have also have this voice impersonation software. So they just need 3 to 5 minutes of any person's voice. They take it. They have a sample of that. It can be on a radio show. It can be on YouTube. Just a small sample would be enough. They use your software to replicate the voice. So now it's not someone who's replicating the voice themselves. It's a software that's taking samples of someone else's voice and then doing the job for them.
Which could potentially put us out of work.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wouldn't...
Wow.
They just need samples of anyone's voice.
I'd say I'm going to be silent for the rest of the show. You guys do it. You know, I'm done.
Yeah, so because you don't want robots sampling your voice.
Right.
Yeah, there was another one. Yeah, but the most famous one was the one by the University of Washington. So they were the ones who did the Obama thing. So they took the video of Obama, and they've been doing a couple of other videos with like celebrities just for fun, just to poke around. But that one was scary because you would never be able to tell. They also say that as this develops more and more, the people who already believe in fake news are not going to be able to stop believing in fake news. I mean, like, we have the habit of filtering through our stories. Like, we see something, then we verify them, we make sure that it's real, you know, we go look for sources. But there are messages going around on WhatsApp where they say that you use a certain kind of eye drop and then you could lose your eyes.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then there's a picture of, like, a random picture of someone in the hospital that just underwent, like, eye surgery. So these, if you forward these messages and they see a video of Obama saying something that he shouldn't be saying, they're just going to forward it along and think it's true. There's not going to be any verification.
Yeah. Of course they are.
Yeah.
This is terrifying.
Yeah. There's one
last one. But also fascinating.
Also fascinating, especially Adobe, because Adobe had like a presentation last year where they had something called Project Voco or VOCO. That one was frightening because they picked like someone from the audience and got them to say something. And then within like 2 minutes, they could resample their voices and they could key in words using the keyboard, type in like complete sentences, and Adobe would say it in that person's voice. So now you're just using a tiny sample of someone's voice, you're keying in sentences on your keyboard, and it's replicating their voice, and people were not able to tell the difference. It was near perfect.
I think you're going to have to produce another 5 things you need to know about fake news.
Yeah.
So you did a Five for Fortune episode on fake news just a couple of
weeks ago,
right?
Of why people believe fake news, right? Yeah. So those are like simple, like the one in that episode I spoke about, like how people believe, why it's easier to believe something and not believe something. Because by believing in something, you feel a sense of positiveness and it releases like pleasure hormones in your body, your brain, your endorphins. But when you don't believe in something, it feels bad. So imagine if you see a video and you're not able to tell the difference.
Wow.
It's a frightening
feature. It's going to mess with you in a whole different level.
Isn't it just? Mm-hmm. All right. Time to take a short break. Electric Light Orchestra coming up next with All Over the World. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And Arvind Yuvaraj.
And Majida Hashim.
And Audrey Raj.
Right, so there's a story here that I want to talk about, and it's picked up from The Guardian. The headline is, Could 3D Printing Solve the Organ Transplant Shortage? So if you didn't already know, in the UK, for example, if you wanted a kidney transplant, you have to wait on average of 944 days.
That's like 3 years.
3 years, yeah. Mm. And there's a shortage of liver, lungs, and other organs, of course. And the lack of transplant tissues is estimated to be the leading cause of death in America. So around 900,000 deaths a year, or around one-third of all deaths in the U.S. could be prevented or delayed by organ or engineered tissue transplants. So the demand for this is actually quite endless. So there's this guy from Sweden. His name is Erik Gattenholm. And he started his first biotech company when he was 18 years old after watching his father, who worked in genetics. And his dad had got a 3D bioprinter. A bioprinter, if you don't already know, we know what a 3D printer is already, but a bioprinter can like print little bits of organs and tissue and one thing or another. So what they've been looking at was trying to bring down the cost of this and make it much more cost effective, because as I just mentioned, this the idea for organs and you know, people donating organs is a really long list, and very few people actually donate. So they started off developing a company, and the one thing that they realized is that there was no ink to be printed from these actual, you know, bioprinters. So they started a company to create the ink.
Yeah.
And this company was called CellLink. And if you didn't already know, this ink is made from a nanocellulose alginate. Did you know that?
No.
Wow. Wonderful
what
phrase.
What is that?
Right.
That's a new word.
It's a new word, yeah. It could be word of the day, in fact. Mm. It's basically an extract from seaweed. So they use portions of seaweed and with a whole bunch of other stuff to create this ink. So bioprinting has its time now. These are the one company so far, well, not the one, but one of the biggest producing the ink so far. And now we know that moving forward, the bioprinters offer the potential to create living tissue, things like heart and lungs and kidneys and one thing or another. Now, back a few years ago, there's a company called Organovo. They've been around since 2007, and they had some success in printing parts of lungs, kidneys, and hearts and other bits and pieces. And then moving forward a few years later, one company that came along to help produce 3D printed skin was a company that perhaps you wouldn't have thought who would have been involved in the biotech world, and that is L'Oreal, of all companies. Mm-hmm. They wanted to come around so that their ultimate goal is to eradicate the need for any kind of animal trials. right? And everybody who's into beauty, or we know this is all part of the dark kind of underbelly of the beauty industry. So L'Oreal, you know, they're really committed to doing this and working with bioprinting. So they one thing that they were really pushing was synthetic hair follicles, right? So that they could get into that market, you know, for people who are losing their hair and one thing or another, they could help with that. But then they realized there were so many different cells involved in hair follicles, it's going to take a little bit of a longer time. But the reason I really like this story is because there's this young guy who kind of looked at this world and was like, right, how do we fix a problem? And what kind of solution can we offer? So his first solution, obviously, was to make the ink, right?
And that's just smart because, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we heard of 3D printers, it was being billed as one day being able to print organs.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. And print skin for people who've had really bad burns and things like that. But then, you know, everybody's just went ahead and had fun with it and we've not actually heard of, like, real advancement in this in this segment,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So finally, now someone thought about making the ink.
So there's obviously a huge benefit in bioprinting because our organs break. You know, we were talking just the other day, Majida, about becoming cyborgs and having robot parts and one thing or another. Yeah. It might feel a bit better if there was a bit more of an organic kind of portion.
Feel to it.
Like proper cartilage.
Like proper cartilage. If my heart breaks, I'd like an organic heart rather than a beating kind of machine in there.
But would you like a 3D printed one? All your organs replaced by a new one that's printed via 3D?
If possible, yes. I think I probably would. I think I would opt and like to go down that route. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Maybe call me old-fashioned, but I'd like something a bit fleshy in there. but anyway... what we're looking at is that within 10 years, we can actually start looking at implants within the cartilage field. And in just in about 6 or 7, they've started developing, they've actually started printing portions of the human heart. The one thing that they can't get right are the blood vessels. They're too fine, so they're still working on that. But they are saying that within our lifetime, essentially, we could be seeing full organ replacements. The one thing that has been the real problem with this, though, is that the cost of these printers is ginormous. Mm-hmm. For you're talking between $175,000 to $200,000 for one of these printers.
Wow.
So most of the time, these printers only appear in research universities or very well-funded hospitals, private hospitals, that kind of thing. So the same guy who created the ink looked at a few business models around the world, and you may be familiar with two, the razor and the blade, and the inkjet printer and the printer cartridges, right? If you buy, in my country, at about 16 or 18, every young man receives through the post a razor and a blade from a particular company that we're all familiar with, which kind of gets you into that bandwagon of, like, using their particular razor blades, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's smart. You know, the actual device itself is cheap as chips, but the blades cost a bit more money. Inkjet printers, as we know, the printer costs next to nothing, but the ink itself costs a fortune.
A lot,
So what these guys have done is looked at that and said, okay, well, these printers cost $200,000. What if we could make one for $8,000? And that's what they've done.
Oh,
using the same model. They know that their, you know, income is going to come from the ink in the future. Smart, right?
Yeah, smart. But this is, I think this way I get like a bit... skeptical or cynical? Because, it's cheap now, but if it works, then you know it's going to be commercialized, then someone's going to pick it up, and then they're going to start selling the organs for like a price that not everyone can afford.
So, exactly.
Yeah, so this guy starting out, he wants to do something good. I think he wants to let everyone afford fake organs, basically, or organ replacements for those who need the procedure done, right?
Yeah.
But if it's fully commercialized and if it works and if the body isn't rejecting these organs, then someone's going to start selling it for exorbitant prices.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's where we are right now, though. That's where the market is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how exorbitant these printers are and the ink is, that's currently the market that we're operating in. The people that will be able to afford these currently would be super rich. You know, but if you can eventually bring that price down, then we have a mass market, and because like you say, the market itself is endless.
Yeah.
So it's not like you need to make a huge amount of profit straight away. It's something that can be a trickle.
Yeah. Mm. But at least, maybe it will help with the black market on organs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mm.
Time to take a break. You wanted a song, Jonah's a Policeman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Personal request.
Break Me in Two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, and here we are. It is Break Me in Two from Jones the Policewoman here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business for Malaysia, BFM
89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. It's almost time for us to wrap up the show, but before we do, we've got one final story. Mm-hmm. It's about Spotify.
Yeah.
Are they prepping to go public?
They want to go public, and they are closing in on 60 million subscribers.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, which is way more than Apple Music. The thing behind this article is that Apple Music should have more subscribers than Spotify, but they've done a few things where their subscriber numbers have just soared past, and now they want to go public. What they're doing is they are planning on experimenting on something called a direct listing. So the company wants to go public without doing an IPO, basically.
Oh.
So the inside and not the company will be selling the shares to the stock market. That's basically what it means, the gist of it. And what people are saying is that it's a highly unusual move. So there's been a lot of skepticism. People are not sure why Spotify is doing it. What they're saying is basically when people want to go public, companies, they don't like the IPO process because there's a lot of paperwork and there are a lot of mm-hmm. other entities involved. But it is an opportunity for them to make a lot of money and to raise a lot of money. If Spotify is skipping this process and then they're having like a direct listing, then they are missing out on literally hundreds and millions of proceeds from the IPO process itself.
But I think this is because they want control over mm-hmm. how much the shares will be worth.
Yep.
Because if you leave it, if you just go public with an IPO, then you know another foreign entity comes in and values your shares, and usually
yep.
slightly lower, so that when you do go public on that first day, your price pops. But then you know how long can you sustain that price?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So it's all these things that possibly Spotify just doesn't want
to
well,
get
release
into.
Control, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they don't want to get into that process yet. They say that they could go into the whole IPO process later, but this is what they're doing first. And they're also saying that if this works in their favor, then other companies could follow in their footsteps. So it's a big, like, how to say, they're like a junction sort of thing, and then they're going to see if it does well or if it doesn't do well. And they're confident enough with their subscribers and the way the company is going to do something like this.
I mean, the very fact that they can hold Apple Music back as well.
Yeah.
You know, and more subscribers than Apple Music. I mean, Spotify have been disruptive from the start,
yeah.
You know,
basically Apple Music, what they're saying is it offers 3 months of free trials. It comes pre-installed on every iPhone, so the moment you have an iPhone, you have Apple Music installed, and then it pays a lot of money, way more than Spotify, for exclusive early access to a lot of top albums
right.
that get released there. So it should be on top, but for whatever reason, I mean, not for whatever reason, I mean, Spotify does a lot of things right, but they've sort of beaten them. Like in the last year alone, let me pull this up, I think Spotify has 60 million subscribers compared to Apple Music's 27 million only.
Wow.
As of June.
Do either you I know you don't own an Apple phone or
no,
an Apple
no,
device
no,
right
no.
So that would probably explain why you don't use it, but Audrey, I know you do, right?
Yes.
Do you use Apple Music at all?
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. Spotify.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I subscribe to Apple Music and I subscribe to Spotify. Majida, you?
Spotify Premium,
yeah.
Premium, yeah.
But then after a while I thought, well, Spotify is serving me all of the needs that I everything that I need. Why am I using Apple Music? There was no exclusivity, really, mm-hmm. to any of the artists that I was listening to that were available on one platform and not on the other.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, well, it only makes sense to, you know, spend my money on one thing. And it, like you say, Spotify does some things really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
The Discover Weekly thing
is perfect.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. It started off, you know, yeah. after you've got used to using it and you used it a couple of times, it predicts so well.
Yeah. So I've spoken to people on both sides of the thing. Like I've spoken to someone. There's an interview that I did. He used to be he used to work at Spotify, and he used to work in the algorithms team. And then I've spoken to others who also say that the algorithm chooses music for you, and it doesn't let you discover music that's new and fresh and all that.
Right.
Where I stand is, it's Spotify learns from you.
Mm.
So it's looking at your behavior. It's not telling you up front what you should listen to. It's looking at what you like to listen to. It's taking those beats, those rhythms, the kind of artists that you like, and then it's giving you similar sort of artists. So
yeah.
ever since I installed Spotify, I've taken, like, every week, the Discover Weekly, I add at least 15 songs. So that's
right.
half of the list
yeah, yeah.
that goes into, like, my bank of songs.
And I'm also very careful with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if somebody is using your Spotify account,
yep.
for example,
mm-hmm.
and they listen to something that's completely different to what you normally would listen to, and they give that song a thumbs up or anything,
mm-hmm.
your future playlists
yep.
can be altered for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's that clever. It's that quick to change things. I notice changes in your listening habits.
And your behavior.
Yeah.
And even if you pick up like a new genre along the way and you like this artist
yeah.
and you keep going down that road and then you pick up their older albums, it will offer you like suggestions for similar albums in the future.
And if you're worried about being caught in your own bubble and listening to the kind of music that you're just used to, you know, with Spotify picking that for you every week, then do what I do. I don't use the Discover Weekly option. I just go and browse.
Yeah.
I browse all the time. Too. And, you know, that way I'm open to all different kinds of music.
And it also has, like, even in the browse, it has like those carousel things, and then it goes because you listen to, let's say, In Flames, so then it has like a bunch of other artists that sound similar but might be different enough for you to pick up. Coming back to that part about why, the logic behind why they're doing like a direct listing, there's also the case of lockup periods, they call it. So that's where insiders cannot sell shares for months and months and months after the company goes public. So this doesn't happen if they do like a direct listing.
So they can't dump the shares immediately.
They can't dump it immediately. So they're trying to avoid all that. So there's another thing with them is their confidence has gone up because they were able to sign people who dropped out initially. I think we were talking about like Taylor Swift and Kanye West.
She came back very quickly, didn't she?
They were like the guys who left the party, you know, kind of thing. And then they saw like Instagram pictures and it was really good. And then they came back and like, oh, I want in, you know. So, they have a lot of momentum going for them. And, we have to see, like, I'm pretty sure we'll report like in the coming weeks or months. They say by end of the year. So maybe end of the year. They will be prepared to do this by the end of the year. That's about less than 6 months away. So we will have an update on how it goes and, you know, see how it progresses.
Wonderful.
There.
Would you put some money into Spotify, Arvin?
Yeah, I would.
Would you tell your robot to do it, Majida?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Audrey?
Yes.
Money into Spotify, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, time for us to wrap up, folks. Let's go quickly through some of the stories that we covered on today's show.
Yeah, we started off with that story on Auto Wealth. It is an online platform, a robot that basically advises you on your finances.
And then we moved on to Reddit and how it raised $1.8 billion to expedite a number of internal product and business efforts, including a redesign of its homepage.
Go on, Arvin, what was yours?
Yeah, and then we spoke about the future of fake news, where there's now new software that can create audio-visual content that's completely fabricated and fake.
And then, of course, we wrapped up with Spotify, how they're prepping to go public in the near future.
In the near future, yeah.
Right.
And also the 3D printing, the organ transplant.
Oh, yes, the organ transplant. Yep. Oh, I'm going to come to that in a minute, actually, because that's got my word of the day.
Ah.
Word of the day today, then, was nanocellulose alginate.
Say that again.
Nanocellulose alginate.
Without looking at the...
Nanocellulose alginate.
Say that three times really quickly.
Wait until this show's finished, Audrey Raj. Right, anyway, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. We have Dato Feng Wei Kwong, Managing Director of JF Technology Berhad. They were on the show this morning. Established in 1999, JF Technology manufactures and trades in electronic products and components in Malaysia as well as abroad. They spoke about the company's fortunes and prospects amid volatile economic conditions and challenges stemming from intellectual property disputes. That's all coming up after the news at 1. On behalf of myself and the gang here on Enterprise BizBytes, we will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. You are listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.